Dear friends, may I invite you to continue a study on the structure of the book of Revelation. We have already seen the structure of two convergent stories, and during our last meeting, we talked about the chiasm form, that is, from symmetrical to a central part. May I now invite you to consider a third structure. At the beginning, it is based on the seven passages in seven sections. We are going to see that these sections overlap differently, so that we could call this structure the Matryoshka or Russian dolls structure. Let's look through this text and see each specific link that exists between one section and the following, more precisely the last section chart and the following section. We shall first of all examine together the relationship between the churches and the seals. What do we see that they have in common? The last section of the churches is the letter addressed to Laodicea. Laodicea means judgment of the people, and we have seen that section 2, the one of the seals, reveals the judgment of the house of God, the judgment of the people. Moreover, the promise to Laodicea, which we are about to read now, is closely linked to what follows immediately after in chapter 4. Let us read together what is promised to Laodicea in Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3, verse 21. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. How is the section of the throne reveals to us? It opens on the throne hall where stands the throne of God, surrounded by the 24 thrones of the elders. You can add another link, which we read in chapter 4, verse 1. Revelation 4, verse 1. After these things I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was like a trumpet speaking with me, saying, Come, come up, and I will show you things which must take place after this. I'll show you things which must take place after this. The message to Laodicea reveals her state and discloses how God sees and appreciates this church. So, this letter to Laodicea is sent at the beginning of the time of period determined for this church. The time corresponding to Laodicea is that of the judgment of the house of God, the judgment of the people. There is a very strong link here as revealed by the text itself. What we are about to see with the seals follows what we have just seen, that is, the message to Laodicea. Consequently, the time of the seals is also the time of Laodicea. May I now propose that we see the link which exists between the seals and the trumpets, more precisely, between the seventh seal and the trumpets. The first link, a narrative link, we have already seen, just reminding you that chapter 8, verse 1, where we read the following. Revelation 8:1, when he opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for about half an hour. Then, without any transition, without going back, without advising any change, the story continues. Revelation 8:2, and I saw the seven angels who stand before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. So, the first link is a narrative one. The second one, which we have already examined, carries notion of not doing any harm to the earth, nor the sea, and the trees, till the forehead of God's servants be sealed. This we saw in chapter 7, verse 3. Revelation 7:3, do not harm the earth, the sea, or the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God on their foreheads. So harm will be done to the earth and to the sea and the trees during the sounding of the first and the second trumpet. This is what we read in chapter 8, verses 7 and 8. Revelation 8:7-8, the first angel sounded, and hail and fire followed, mingled with blood, and they were thrown to the earth. And a third of the trees were burnt up, and all green grass was burnt up. Then the second angel sounded, and something like a great mountain burning with fire was thrown into the sea, and a third of the sea became blood. Observation. We can understand that there is a strong link which indicates that the seven trumpets start sounding only after the opening of the seventh seal. May I invite you now to consider the link that can exist between the trumpets and the bowls, more precisely the seventh trumpet and the bowls. We have already read this, but I invite you to read it again in chapter 11, verse 18. Let's listen to what the 24 elders say. Revelation chapter 11, verse 18. The nations were angry, and your wrath has come, and the time of the dead that they should be judged, and that you should reward your servants, the prophets, and the saints, and those who fear your name, small and great, and should destroy those who destroy the earth. I would like to stress on, the nations were angry and your wrath has come. So, what do we read concerning the bowls in chapter 15, verse 1? It says, then I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels having the seven last plagues, for in them the wrath of God is complete. You see, the wrath of God is being announced at the sounding of the seventh trumpet. This is imminent. We are on the verge of God's wrath, and this wrath is to manifest itself with bowls. Consequently, the seventh trumpet marks the opening of the seven bowls. We saw there was a blank here, three chapters dealing with something else. In fact, they introduce us with a second story, which is the story of the woman and the dragon. Considering the story of the woman and the dragon, we understand that this has no direct link with the trumpets, thus we deduct that it is a second story, and indeed, the tune changes completely. Here, with the woman and the dragon, we come across familiar symbols seen in the book of Daniel. Beasts, a dragon with seven heads and ten horns, a beast with seven heads and ten horns, in short, a language concerning beasts belonging to the prophetic book of Daniel. Going a little further, we can note that there is a link between the story of the woman and the dragon and the seven bowls. Both are signs. The woman is one sign, and the dragon is also a sign. And the seven bowls constitute assigned to. Do read with me from chapter 12, verses 1 to 3. Now, a great sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and on her head a garland of 12 stars. And another sign appeared in heaven, behold, a great fiery red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and 7 diadems on his head. We'll have to go to chapter 15 to see the third sign. Revelation chapter 15, verse 1. Then I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous. 7 angels having the 7 last plagues, for in them the wrath of God is complete. The other link between the woman and the dragon on one side and the 7 bowls on the other lies at the end of this passage of chapter 12 to 14, which concludes with the harvest and the vine harvest. May I invite you to go with me to chapter 14, verse 19? So, the angel thrust his sickle into the earth and gathered the vine of the earth and threw it into the great winepress of the wrath of God. The wrath of God, the harvest and the vine harvest take place. The grapes are thrown into the winepress of God's wrath. They will be trodden underfeet. It's the pressing time, the time of the bowls. Just after this, we read in chapter 15, verse 1, then I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, 7 angels having the 7 last plagues, for in them the wrath of God is complete. Let's move a little forward and consider the link existing between the bowls and particularly the judgment of Babylon. This link will be easy to find out. Let's go to the text concerning the 7 bowls. May I invite you to read with me from chapter 15, verse 17 and on. Then the 7th angel poured out his bowl into the air, and a loud voice came out of the temple of heaven from the throne, saying, "It is done." And there were noises and thunderings and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake, such a mighty and great earthquake as had not occurred since men were on the earth. Now the great city was divided into 3 parts, and the cities of the nations fell. And great Babylon was remembered before God to give her the cup of the wine of fierceness of his wrath. Babylon falls. Babylon is divided into 3. So, what follows in the next section is the judgment of Babylon. The judgment of Babylon draws us back in the time period because when a person is judged, we have to come back to the past events which brought that person to his present state. This is what takes place with Babylon. Thus, the 7th bowl, the fall of Babylon will clearly be described to us under the sequence of the judgment of Babylon. Here, we can again see that there exists a link between the 7th bowl and the judgment of Babylon. Now, we have a last link to examine. It is the one that exists between the judgment of Babylon and the New Jerusalem. To establish this fact, I propose we read together what the prophet says in chapter 21, verse 9. Revelation 21, 9. Then one of the 7 angels who had the 7 bowls, filled with the 7 last plagues, came to me and talked with me, saying, "Come, I will show you the bride, the Lamb's wife." This last section is brought to us by one of the 7 angels holding the 7 bowls. The section that presents the New Jerusalem begins here in chapter 21, verse 9. Many Bible scholars have not noticed this link and have brought to a start the description of the New Jerusalem at the beginning of chapter 21. In fact, here, we see the New Jerusalem coming down from heaven. Let's read it in chapter 21, verses 1 and 2. Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth have passed away. Also there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Thus, one could think that the description of the New Jerusalem starts here. But remember that we still are in the process of judgment of Babylon, and what clearly proves my point lies in the end of the text in verse 8. Let us see what this verse tells us. Revelation 21:8. But the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, all the liars shall have their path in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. So we have here a chart ending with the judgment of elements constituting Babylon, and this ends in the lake of burning fire and brimstone, which is the second death, the final destruction. Several charts have the same ending, and they all belong to the same whole. Let me remind you this, Revelation 19:20. Then the beast was captured, and with him the false prophet, who worked signs in his presence, by which he deceived those who received the mark of the beast and those who worshipped his image. These two were cast alive in the lake of fire, burning with brimstone. A little further, in another scene, it is Satan who is cast in the burning lake of fire and brimstone. Revelation 20:10. The devil who deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. Then it is all the reprobates who end in the lake of fire and brimstone. We see this at the end of chapter 20. We read, Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. And the fourth scene is the one we have seen before, and which is a synthesis of all these. So, all these charts belong to the judgment of Babylon. The section concerning the New Jerusalem begins only in verse 9, but it gives us a marvelous introduction, the last scene constituting the judgment of Babylon. It is this beginning of chapter 21 where the New Jerusalem is introduced, where we are told that it will not go into the lake of fire and brimstone, but this lake of fire will be for those named, that is, the cowardly, the unbelievers, and all those mentioned. Consequently, the last scene of this section talks about the New Jerusalem, and the whole section is dedicated to it. So you see, there is a link going up to the end, kind of Russian puppets, between these sections. It's a sequence of events. There is no letting up, but what is extraordinary and what is worth being noted is the fact that we have three structures which complete one another, but which actually are not contradictory. We know how difficult it is to give a certain structure to a text, while we have here three structures juxtaposing perfectly without contradiction. How a man, as intelligent as could be, how John the prophet could organize such a text? This is an impossible task. This fitting and neat organized setting we have here is to me a sign that the text is indeed inspired.
J'aimerais, à l'occasion de cette conclusion sur la
to conclude this chronology, I would like to underline the fact that some texts we have seen once, twice, several times, brings to us different useful things which we could bring to light in other various sequences.
Ils étaient utiles dans un autre enchaînement. Ce qui nous prouve
this proves something, that each text in the Revelation is linked to several other texts, either through their structures, or through reminders, or by words used to convey the same ideas in such a way that they form a web mingled together that one cannot force the text to say what it is not meant to say. We cannot isolate it just like this because these syntheses, the different structures, impress a comprehension or rather impress such a net, a frame that does not allow anyone to say anything he wants.
Elles n'imposent pas exactement une lecture, mais elles imposent un maillage, elles imposent un cadre qui ne nous permet pas de dire n'importe quoi. Alors, il nous reste maintenant...
Allow me to propose a last component, which we shall study together during our next meeting.
Il s'agit de faire un peu la synthèse...
It concerns the synthesis of all this and to present this in a kind of chronological chart. Talking about chronological chart does not mean to set dates concerning events to come, but rather sequence of events. We must admit that the text does not give us many data, but it indicates in which order events will take place. This is what I propose we see next time we meet. May I advise all those who are willing to have a text study of the Book of Revelation not to neglect the least detail, the introduction and even those texts which might seem to us of less importance, not worthy of any interest. Convince yourself that they are bearers of facts that will help in the structure of the text. God is a God of order. He has set such a good order in the Book of Revelation, thus allowing us to set order in other texts which are less structured than these, but which cannot be considered of less importance nor of less interest.